Amen. It's a privilege for us to be together again to receive from the Lord what we need for the journey here. I think of the urgent instruction given by the Lord to his disciples, notably Peter, where he says, "Do you love me?" In consequence of that, he says, "Feed my flocks. Feed my sheep." That's very important to the Lord. Feeding the sheep. We need what we get from the Word of God. When Satan assailed the Lord Jesus in the wilderness, because he thought he had him at a weak point where he was physically hungry, he said, "Cause these stones to be made bread." Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God." If we could only really be deeply impressed with the importance of the Word, that's the foundation. And we need to build on that foundation from the Word of God. Peter, later, writes to the elders, and he says, "You feed the flock of God, shepherd the flock of God among you." Very important. Paul, right, speaking to the Philippians, he says to them, "Shepherd the flock of God, over whom the Spirit has appointed you, elders." It's important. Now that's preamble to our lesson for today, because we want to engage everyone in the lesson. It's the way we get fed. It isn't just that we hear talk, a lecture, a sermon, something that a promotional spiel, but it is the instruction of the Spirit of God. So let's pay attention to our lesson for today. And the lesson for today begins a study in the book of, in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, the 10th chapter, and I wonder, perhaps I can ask you, Rod, to read for us quickly verses 1 through 18, and the rest of us will follow as you read.
"Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him, because they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. So Jesus said to them again, Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I come that they might have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep, which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. No one has taken it from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I receive from my Father.
Thank you. The portion of the chapter that we just read, we will be working in for as long as we need to get through it. And I want to urge your devoted attention to it, perhaps reading it over yourself and seeing what you can glean from it in the course of the week, and perhaps the Lord will enrich your own gain by that method. I emphasize that we need to know the Word of God, and we only get to know it when we genuinely study it. If we only read glibly here and there and walk off from it, we don't really get it. The man in Psalm 1, we are told, he meditated in the Word day and night. Do we meditate in the Word? Or do we say, well, it's a good Word, it's dependable, you can trust it, I believe it, every word in it. But we don't really spend a lot of time like the man in Psalm 1, just meditating on it day and night. Well, we're going to do some of that as we look at this chapter. The chapter opens with this statement from the Lord. He's talking, mind you, to some unbelievers. He's talking to the people, the Pharisees, who were challenging him on every hand. You will remember that in the previous chapter, chapter 9, Jesus healed the man that was blind from birth. He's a man who was blind from birth. He was born blind. And these cynical inquirers ask a question that really is not even rational. Well, in that case, actually, it was the disciples that asked that question. But it is... So who was it responsible for this man's blindness? Did he sin, or did his parents sin? These are some of the things that we conclude on. We jump to conclusions about. And the Pharisees here, who were bent on protesting the ministry of Jesus, actually they wanted to do away with him because he constituted a kind of contradiction to what they were practicing. They were preoccupied with the Sabbath, and so Jesus healed this man on the Sabbath day in chapter 9, and they said, well, you know, we're going to curb this. We're going to cast everybody out who shows any kind of deference for him. And they scared the people generally as they argued with Jesus. In verses 35 to 41, we see them arguing with him. Now, about his healing this blind man on the Sabbath day. So, chapter 10 opens, verily, verily, truly, truly, amen, amen. That's the way it begins. That's to emphasize something. That is the way things were emphasized. Amen, amen, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door of the fold of the sheep, or the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. So he opens the chapter with this, because it arises out of the argument that the Pharisees were having with him. He healed someone that was blind. That was something that could not be found commonly or anywhere. In fact, the man who was healed said, Has anyone ever heard of someone who was born blind being healed? It's never heard from the beginning of the world until now. This is unique, he's saying. Well, why was that so? It was so because Jesus was presenting himself as the true shepherd. He was entering the fold, and he was presenting himself as the true shepherd. He says, the true shepherd comes in through the gate or through the door to the sheepfold. Now, the sheepfold was a structure with four walls that rose up high toward heaven, and it was uncovered at the top. The only access to the sheep pen or the sheepfold was through one door. And through that one door, every shepherd who had his flock in the sheepfold would have to come in order to take his flocks out. There were usually many flocks in a sheepfold, and so when a shepherd went to the sheepfold, he would be admitted because he's recognized. So he comes through the door and he calls his sheep. When he calls his sheep, sheep would have that unique capacity to recognize the voice of its shepherd, that they would perk up and go to him. Okay. Jesus said, the true shepherd comes through the door, but there are thieves and robbers. And how do they approach it? They know they aren't going to gain access to the door, so they try to climb up the walls, perhaps to get up to the opening at the top, so as and come down that way. Now, there were some like that before Jesus and after him. You'll remember in Acts 5 where the apostles are being chided for preaching the gospel. And the Sanhedrin are about to inflict some kind of punishment on them. A man with great authority, moral authority among them, stood up, Gamaliel, and he says, look, cool it. Don't take care of what you do. Because remember, there was Judas who rose up and he had a certain following. It came to nothing. Because he wasn't the Messiah. He wasn't the sent one. And then there was a Judas who rose up. And that flopped. He says, if this one that they're preaching is nothing, then it'll, like the others, flop, it'll come to nothing. But if it is real, if it is authentic, then you'll find yourself fighting against God. So, the one who comes through the door is authentic. Now, what door is this, by the way? What constitutes the door? It is undoubtedly the door of prophecy by which he would be identified. Yes, God made it possible for the people who were really looking for him to identify him by the door that was formed for him to come in, the door of prophecy. In order to be the Messiah, he had to be born in Bethlehem. The prophets prophesied that. And he was. And he was born in Bethlehem because of, it would seem to us, some strange accident of events. But it was not an accident of events. God had designed it. Everyone had to go to their respective ancestral place to register for the Roman, as a Roman requirement of the Roman government. That's the way Mary ended up in Bethlehem just at the time that the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, was to be born. We were told, of course, before this, that he was to be born of a virgin. And Isaiah 7:14, we read that, and that's what we have in Matthew and in the Gospels. He was born of a virgin. And so there are many, we cannot go through them now. I think there's, it's some, they've been counted, and I think there's something like 360 some prophecies, specific prophecies concerning the Messiah that the Lord Jesus fulfilled. And he was conscious that the Messiah had to go through the door. And he was fulfilling that all the time, from before he was born until his death. He was conscious of it, because we find him saying in John's Gospel, chapter 26, I'm sorry, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, I'll just read that quickly. In Matthew 26, verses 52 through 54. Then Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back into its place, for all those who take up the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? How then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that it must happen this way?" So he was not resisting in any way. Whatever had to be done for the scriptures to be fulfilled, he was there to do that. And so fulfilled the requirement of entering through the gate. Let me tax your memory for a moment. You have read through the Gospels. How often did you read so that the words spoken by the prophet might be fulfilled? I went through the scriptures once and cataloged them. There were many of them. I cannot remember. I think some 4 pages of them I found. That it might be fulfilled. Every one of those things had to be fulfilled, and many more. Every one of them had to be fulfilled. They were the door through which the shepherd, the true shepherd, would come. That's the way he would be recognized. And Jesus was going through all these things, and he was meticulous about making certain that every jot and tittle was taken care of so that he might fulfill it. To the point where he says, well, if we, let's look at John's Gospel again, chapter 19. You hear now, there's a whole series of that it might be fulfilled, as the scripture says. In chapter 19, we have verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things had already been accomplished, in order that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. He knew that the scripture might be fulfilled. One, two, three, perhaps scores of them, that the scripture might be fulfilled. These events. Now, we've come to a place where we're told that Jesus knew that all of the things that had to be fulfilled were fulfilled. So he says, I thirst. And we have the jar being brought to him. He refuses it. And when Jesus, verse 30, when Jesus therefore had received the sour wine, he said, what? What did he say? It is finished. It is finished. He fulfilled everything that had to be fulfilled. And so now he could pronounce, it is finished. He came through the door. He did not climb up some other way. He fulfilled every prophecy that had to be fulfilled. The prophecies that were there to identify the Messiah, the true shepherd of Israel. And so he begins chapter 10 with this declaration. He says, there are thieves and robbers that are climbing over, but the true shepherd enters through the door. That was he himself, the true shepherd, who would enter through the door of the sheepfold. Now that metaphor of sheepfold is used here to represent Israel. Israel is the sheepfold. The Lord Jesus came to Israel. He entered through the door. Through the door of prophecy. And so as he enters the sheepfold, verse 2 says, he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. Because there were several flocks, at least, in the sheepfold. And the sheep that belonged to that shepherd would respond when they heard the shepherd's voice. And so, if we go down in chapter 10 to verse 27, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So he goes into the sheepfold of Israel. And those in Israel who were his sheep hear his voice, and what do? They get up and follow him. Who are they? Can't name them all. But certainly Nicodemus was one of them. Peter and John and all the disciples. He says that in verse 3, he says, to him, that is the doorkeeper, opens and the sheep hear his voice and he calls his own by name. And so as Jesus entered the sheepfold of Israel, I hear him calling Nicodemus. I hear him calling Joseph of Arimathea. I hear him calling Mary Magdalene. These are his sheep in the sheepfold of Israel. And they hear his voice and they follow him. That is the picture that we have here with the shepherd who enters the sheepfold. Jesus is the shepherd, the true shepherd, authenticated by by fulfilling all of the scriptures that were necessary to be fulfilled for him to qualify. And after everything else is done, the sheep recognize his voice. His sheep recognize his voice. And they follow him. Now, let me call your attention to something else in this. In verse, let's look at verse 24, where there were unbelieving Jews who did not want to recognize him. Verse 24 says, "The Jews therefore gathered around him and were saying to him, 'How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. If you are the true shepherd, tell us plainly.'" How does he answer them? Verse 25. He said, "I told you that you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, these bear witness of me. But you do not believe. Why? Because you are not of my sheep." That's why they didn't believe. They were not his sheep. All that were his sheep heard his voice and followed him. Followed him out of the fold. Out of the fold of Israel. They are no longer in that fold. He was a flock that followed their shepherd out of the fold. And so we have all those that we can name. We cannot enumerate them now. I understand that there were 120 gathered in the upper room waiting. But Paul also tells us in 1 Corinthians 15 that when he rose, he was seen at one time, at the same time, by more than 500 brethren. All these were sheep, were his sheep. They followed him. They heard his voice. He called them, each one by name. He didn't just say, "Now all who are mine, come." No, he called each one by name. And they followed him out. And so those who were not believers said, "We don't get it. All this time we've been telling you, we've been asking you, tell us plainly." Well, they couldn't hear. Why? Because they weren't his sheep. And that's the way it is. We declare the gospel. We preach the gospel. Some come, and some just yawn and shrug their shoulders and walk off. What's the difference? Jesus says, because they are not my sheep. But all who are my sheep hear. And that's an important thing for us to recognize. That is a lesson of one of the lessons that we will learn in John's Gospel, chapter 10. Let's stop there for today, and we'll pick up the next time. Our Father and God, we pray that you will teach us from your word things that will make our hearts glow with the light of heaven and the joy of our Savior. Amen.